And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. As usual, go to TennesseeStar.com. That's TennesseeStar.com on the web. Go to Tennessee Star on Facebook. You'll find links to the stories that we're talking about today. And a couple of those stories involve what the legislature is doing as we move closer towards maybe an April 1st. That'd be April Fool's Day. Okay, April 2nd. Maybe they'll get out. House Speaker Glenn Cassidy with us on the Newsmakers line this morning. Glenn, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Steve and Michael.
Good morning, Speaker.
This is the mad rush period in the legislature. The committees are finishing their work up. You know, things are either going to get passed, denied, or moved to summer study. One of the key bills that got some attention yesterday is the governor's charter school initiative. Came out of the House Education Committee. I know it's something that you're supporting. I know the governor is supporting it strongly, and it's a little bit, kind of, I guess, of a little test vote on where legislators in the Education Committee may come down next week on the education savings account legislation. Do you see these two linked in that way, or is it just two separate bills?
You know, there is a linkage, and so legislators need to trust the governor. He has a vision for reform. You know, Einstein said if you continue to do the same thing over and over and expect a different return and outcome, that's lunacy. Well, currently we just throw more money at education, and all the while we're losing children in our failing schools. And I'm urging our legislators to let's reach down to those kids in failing schools, and let's get them out of those. Let's get the parents a tool to get those kids out of failing schools into a successful school. And that's what the governor's vision is. That's what I support, and I'm urging the people of Tennessee and their legislators to support that vision as well.
You know, the charter schools are public schools, but they can operate a little bit more freely, a little bit more out of the box. The teachers' union and others oppose that because not because they're afraid that things won't work, but because they're afraid they will, and those new ways of doing things might be imposed on them. And it's really sort of the same thing with the education savings account. It frees parents to choose to get away from the schools that are broken and not serving their kids and pursue other alternatives. And yet you've got Republicans that are balking at this, despite your support, despite Randy McNally's support for it, despite the governor's support for it. Why are they not playing on the team?
You know, I think change is the biggest enemy of progress. And I think it's just human nature to be adverse to change. And so it's the governor's job, my job, the citizen's job, the legislators. Let's think outside the box. Let's move ahead. And so we're sitting down, and we'll be sitting down one-on-one with members and say, let's put the focus on children. Let's get those children out of failing schools. And I, the message will sell, Steve, and I think we'll pass them.
Yeah, I know you don't want to be a hardball Jimmy Nafee-type speaker. No. But at some point, when you've got committee chairmen who are not moving the governor's top priority and your top priority forward – at some point, does it become appropriate to remove somebody as a committee chairman, not only to remove them from blocking good policies, but also to send a message to the rest, when something's really important to you and the governor, it better be really important to them?
Well, the bigger thing is the conservative vision. And so I need, and I've got it. I've got a team of conservative leadership. And so sometimes you just have to sit down with individuals one-on-one, catch their attention on the big picture. And that's what we'll be doing next week. And I know that everyone will jump on board, and I'm not worried about it.
Speaker Cassidy, this is Michael Patrick Leahy. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at our lead story today, but our lead story is a smoking gun, the Tennessee Department of Education document that shows the Williamson County Schools is delivering its, quote, white privilege in-service training in violation of state law. We asked the state to provide a copy of the plan approved for in-service training in Williamson County. And they finally delivered something that Williamson County submitted. That's not a plan. It's a calendar, which is very different.
The details are there. In-service training is as much detail as when spring break occurs.
Yeah, it's not an in-service training plan, which would be detailed. And, of course, white privilege is very controversial and very divisive. That's the reason that the Tennessee General Assembly and the governor put this provision of law into effect. Now, given that, do you think it would make sense, I think, to have some sort of investigation into how this white privilege training was introduced into Williamson County schools?
As a citizen and a resident of Williamson County, it disturbs me greatly that would even be allowed in our schools. And I urge everyone that we all pay attention to what Washington's doing and the president's doing, But the most important thing, and where our attention must be focused, on local government and your local school board. And if you're outraged like I am, you need, and those of us in Williamson County need to let our school board members know this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable, and it needs to be addressed immediately.
Well, and you have Knox County has a cultural competency program that they're spending $170,000 on. Hamilton County apparently doing the same thing. So it's sort of a statewide issue. To me, Glenn, the fact that the legislature passes a law that says you have to submit a plan and then they just blatantly ignore it, it seems like the oversight that you guys have talked about doing more of in the past. I know you're in the middle of the legislative session. It's drinking water out of a fire hose. But as soon as the session's over, that might be the time to do some oversight of how come we're not requiring the submission of actual plans.
Yes, and I agree. And so the state has a very definite role. We fund local government, and we help them do well for the citizens of Tennessee. They in turn have an obligation to comply with state law. And so I do think there will be some oversight and a push for further deep oversight on things like this.
The other issue that we saw earlier this week, the Justin Jones character who assaulted you with a cup of frothy monkey hot coffee splashed on Deborah Moody. I haven't determined yet whether there were sugar packets attached to that cup that would make it an assault cup rather than just a standard attack cup. He's back in – he got dismissed from his earlier criminal charges disrupting Marsha Blackburn's campaign rally. He's apparently going to be back in court later this week. Are you concerned that the same judge that found a technicality to give him a pass may do the same thing in your case?
You know, it would not surprise me, and it's the troubling thing about the left. Their idea of free speech is shutting down anyone that disagrees with them. It's kind of scary tactic that they take. And we've got judges and elected people who not only condone it, but they also support it, and this judge is an example of that.
Well, and you've got the case where this particular individual has been ratcheting up his level of violence. You know, he was disruptive and fought with cops at Marsha Blackburn's event. He came up and tried to literally, you know, bull rush you in the Capitol and avoided it. Then he goes the next step of actually throwing a cup of hot coffee at you and Representative Moody. Are you concerned that again, when you see these people ratcheting up their level of violence, that at some point somebody's going to get seriously hurt?
Well, it has happened already. We know the left made a gun assault on our U.S. congressman when they were playing softball. So case after case, they are physically violent. And so, but those of us that are conservatives and believe in the democratic republic process, we just got to stand firm. We just have to stand.
One of the other bills that's going to come up for hearing next week in the Senate, the House has already passed the heartbeat bill. It's now moving ahead in the Senate. Mark Pote and his heartbeat bill and Dolores Gresham's softer, watered-down version are going to be in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I know it's not in your all's hands anymore. It's already passed in the House. Do you see the heartbeat bill moving forward?
You know, I hope so. The Senate is a different body. I stay out of their business. They stay out of ours. But I think the heartbeat bill is a statement that, especially in light of what New York and Virginia has done about taking the life of babies as they're born, you can take their life. It's time for the rest of the nation to stand up and say that's lunacy. Life begins at heartbeat. And I would encourage the senators to support it, and we'll see what happens.
I know you were busy yesterday trying to get bills passed and figure out where people are on the bills and keeping the schedule moving towards getting the legislature out sometime, perhaps in early April. But yesterday, apparently, there were a slew of reporters that were trying to poll your members to try and create some momentum to force Representative David Byrd out of his subcommittee chairmanship on education, force him out of the legislature. Several of your members were telling us that, look, this is a guy that got reelected with about 82-85% of the vote after people knew of these allegations. We ought to listen to the people in his district, not listen to what the reporters, as they try to push their agenda, are doing. Did you hear about this yesterday, and what's your assessment of what's going on?
I did hear about it. Several members came to me, and I was proud of their steadfastness of supporting the election process. In the words of Ronald Reagan, trust the voters. He won overwhelmingly. They spent $150,000 against David Byrd in these 35-year-old allegations. The people of his district trust David. They reelected him about a 4-to-1 ratio. And the members and myself say we were not going to overturn an election. It's the people's voice. And disappointed that the left so wants to avoid the voice of the people with 35-year-old allegations.
Well, and this is the same media. The Tennessean seems like they're doing a daily hit piece on House Speaker Glenn Cassidy. On, you know, you raise the pay level of people who move to a different job to the pay level that job pays, and they write this critical piece. I mean, they're doing almost a daily hit piece on you. Are they journalists, or are they just, you know, kind of part of the Democratic Party at this point?
You know, what I've observed over the years is that Republicans that stand up and are strong and articulate on a conservative message, the left hates, and they'll do all they can to shut them down. And that's what's happening here. Myself and my House colleagues are conservatives. We're standing up. We're fighting the good fight, and the left can't stand it. They do not want an honest debate. They'll try to shut down and just smear where they can, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, it seems like some liberals are against jobs, but now they're even against, you know, people who do work a job getting paid for the job. They were even critical of Governor Lee getting paid for his job as governor. Again, it's one thing to be against jobs, but, you know, if people are doing a job, shouldn't they get paid for it?
Well, and the secret is, you know, the headline was that we increased the House budget by $1.6 million. Actually, that's not true. That's just not true. They just basically made those numbers up. And we confronted them with it, and they told us to prove them wrong. I mean, that's just the world we live
well,
in.
Well, the Tennessee Star is going to look into that, Speaker Cassidy.
Yes. Yes. Good. Good.
What's your timetable of when you think the legislature does finally get out? I know you've got a lot of work to do, a lot of bills to get through in the next few weeks.
I think we will finish that first week in May, probably that Tuesday, which I think is the 4th of May. But the first week in May, we will wrap up.
A lot to get through between now and then. We'll talk to you, I know, repeatedly between now and then, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, Speaker Cassidy.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks. House Speaker Glenn Cassidy, we'll have that transcribed and up on the Tennessee Star tomorrow. So if you missed any of the conversation with the House Speaker, you'll read it and hear it there. Coming up next, Laurie Cardoza Moore, proclaiming justice to the nations, has the latest on Ilhan Omar and her latest crazy talk. We'll be back with that in a moment on the Tennessee Star Report.